Hello and welcome to another episode of the Pure Faith Podcast, the podcast where we discuss all things Bible. I am your host, Mitchell Heikamp, and with me is my co-host and sister, Michelle Waymire.
Hello everyone and welcome. I hope you are as excited as I am about today's podcast.
The way you sound, probably not. You sound overly excited.
All right, I'll say it again.
That's fine. No, I think it's good.
No. Not overly excited.
I think it's good.
All right, go with it then.
You know I'm the one editing, so I won't keep in whatever.
You're exactly. You are the one that edits.
Who knows? Maybe this will all stay. Just for funsies. So.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
This will be releasing the second week in the new year. So.
How are you feeling today?
I feel great. So. Like I just said, this will be releasing the second week. We're actually recording January 1st.
January 1st.
So this is literally the new year. It's currently 7:30 a.m.
I know, but I've already been up for an hour.
Yeah, I've been up since 6.
Yeah, so it's early for us.
So, it's fine.
Well, when you don't go to bed until after the ball drops.
Well, that's you, because you're a party animal.
Oh,
I was in bed by 10:30. Because... That's what you do, I think, when you have kids.
Well, when you have little kids running around, yeah, they wear you out. But when your kids are grown and not home. So, you know, we visited Noah and Elle yesterday for Christmas.
Yeah.
We brought them their Christmas gifts. And, you know, so they're up in Perrysburg and you come home. And we did spend time with friends last evening and Olivia and Owen were there. So, which was good. And then Daniel now has his license. So he was hanging out with the bros last night. So you come home and there's nobody there. It's kind of like, boy, this is very peaceful,
very peaceful.
So I couldn't imagine what it's like to have, you know, little ones running around but they were probably in bed.
So
but they wore you out, I'm sure.
Last night we actually went and looked at Christmas lights.
Oh, really?
Yes. Over in Union City.
Okay.
It would have been Union City, Indiana is where we actually went. And they have a park there. I can't remember the name of the park. I think it's Harder Park. And they have a bunch of lights through the park that you drive through, you know, covered bridges all lit up. Really neat. And then at the end, there's a laser light show.
Oh, okay.
And it has, and you listen to the radio and it plays with the radio.
Okay, that's
and
kinda neat.
It's really, really neat. And we had some friends tell us about this. So we decided we wanted to go. Well, we've been trying to go for like the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
Yeah, we've been a little busy.
And Paige made the comment about doing it last night. And I'm like, well, it's past Christmas. Are they even still open? Well, she looked it up. And last night was the last night for it. And they were going till 10 p.m. So Mom actually went with us.
Oh, okay, good.
And so we went out there. And yeah, Zeke was excited.
Was he excited?
Yes. He was. And I don't know where he got it, but now he has this robot dance that he does.
Oh, my gosh.
So you'll probably see it tonight.
I can't wait.
But, yeah, he has this robot dance, so he kept doing this robot dance. And so we pulled him out of his car seat, and he was sitting up front on Paige's lap so he could see everything. And
yeah.
Eli was asleep through the whole thing. But, yeah, Zeke had a lot of fun.
He enjoyed it.
And yeah, it was really cool.
And he gets very excited.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, very excited.
He says he loves everything right now, and everything's for him.
I love it.
Yeah. Is it for me? Is it for me? I love it. Yep, it's for you.
Oh my goodness!
I tried to poke at him a little bit last night and told him that all the lights were for me, and he goes. Me too.
Oh.
Okay.
He is so sweet. Oh, well, he's so sweet until Wednesday when we had him. He was hungry, and I said, okay.
I told you, you gotta be careful when he gets hungry.
Well, he got hungry, and we had a small bag of fish crackers because I get the individual ones because we packed them for, like, swim meets and stuff. And boy, he was just hotter than a hornet that – we did not have a big bag of fish crackers. I want a big bag. I'm like, what's the difference? We're putting them in a bowl. Like,
yeah.
It'll be fine.
Yeah.
But he was throwing a fit. And that's when Don said, I think your dad's going to be home soon. And he said, no, he not. And I'm like, oh, Actually, he is. And then he said he wanted the cheese stick and he was good. But let me tell you, he did not like the fact that he gets hotter, like I said, than a hornet about some of that stuff.
Yeah, I'm still working on him. He's in a
I'm
phase
still working
right now.
On him.
He's in a phase right now where everything's
like
excess.
Share.
Well, he doesn't like to share, but he likes everything in excess.
Oh, gotcha.
So he can't have just one of anything.
Yeah.
He needs to have two or three.
Oh, because I tried to give him apple juice. And I was splitting it between the two boys, and I was putting a little water in Eli's, and he had the smaller cup. And,
yeah.
You know, I filled up Zeke's just halfway then. And he just gets so upset. I want it all the way full. And I'm like, what's it matter? Like, if you drink it all, I will get you some more.
Yeah. So we're still working on that.
Oh, it's so cute. So cute.
But yeah, he's in case the listeners don't remember, he'll be turning 3 at the end of January. Mm-hmm. So in about 30 days.
And he's not been terrible twos.
I don't see him as often, I guess,
but he just, like I said, he's a very smart kid, but
yeah.
We were doing the pop books though too. And Eli, I was on my lap and you pop these pops and boy, Zeke, as soon as I turned that page, because that's something we used to do, he was right in there. I'm like, I got to pop all these. And I'm like, let Eli do it. So he just, you know, he's at that, you know, sharing and all of that. So
yeah, and he's getting better. So he'll be fine.
Oh, he'll be just fine. But he is. He's smarter than a whip, too, because we went through all the colors and he knew all of them except purple. Like, how do you not know my favorite color? So we went through that.
Have you heard his ABCs yet?
I have not heard his ABCs yet.
He goes from ABC to R, and then he does R through the N, but V is B.
Oh.
So, I mean, he has R on, except for the fact that V is B.
Oh, my God.
But,
gosh.
Yeah. And
I always like the L and OP, because it's like, they're letters, but I don't think when the kids were little, they just thought it was like a run-on sentence.
Yeah.
Like, they had no idea they were actually letters.
Yeah, well, Zeke just skips it all together and just doesn't even deal with it, so.
Oh, so something else we had yesterday was your birthday. So did they give you birthday cake and presents?
No.
No. Okay.
I ordered myself some new presents.
Okay. Well, that's how I usually do it too.
I got me a couple new pairs of bibs.
Oh, joy.
And
I'm so excited.
And you seen my hickory stripe bibs?
I did see those. So. I didn't know if you were becoming an engineer or like a train engineer or if you were... I really just didn't understand what it was. I saw you at work and I said, I can't.
Well, here's the thing. Everybody's so used to me wearing bibs. I don't get any reaction anymore. So I needed to up my game.
Oh my gosh. Did you order different ones? Like, or normal ones? You just have.
I got one pair of normal and then one pair of the hickory stripe.
Oh my goodness. You had a hot pink shirt on underneath them when I saw you.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
That's a breast cancer awareness shirt.
I think we have a picture of this. We'll put it on the Facebook page, people. Check it out. Let us know what you think. Because, you know, I didn't get many reactions from the mustache. I might have got some laughs and stuff. But, you know, I think sharing pictures of you might be something we should do more often on the Facebook page.
Well, lucky for you, I don't embarrass easy.
Well, you're
so
right.
So I really don't care.
But it is fun. And I think I'm going to have to post that picture. So
that's
check
fine.
Out his bibs. Let us know what you think.
That's fine.
Oh, my gosh. I love it. Absolutely love it. But yeah, so we did. We had a good new year. We got home. I actually saw the ball drop, even though I wasn't planning to. And so yeah, early morning this morning, I've got my coffee with me. I, you know, need a shot of espresso.
Well, I don't have any of that.
And then we've got a family wedding this evening. So you said the robot dance. Not only do we see the robot dance, but we also see the Uncle Matt. What do we call this? Is it the lawnmower dance?
I think it actually is supposed to be a lawnmower. We taught Zeke how to do it.
Yeah.
But when Zeke does it, it looks more like the violin.
Yeah, it does.
Or the upside down violin. So it's.
Oh my gosh.
Fun.
And Zeke and I danced at one wedding. And anytime we dance now, he wants to spin. And then he wants to spin in a circle. Well, I've come to the conclusion that it really makes me dizzy. So, and he's looking up in the sky and he's like falling down. I'm like, oh my gosh, we've got to change this dance. We've got to change it. So. We'll see what it changes to tonight. So, but looking forward to another weekend with family. You know, like I said, we've got a family wedding this weekend. We've all seen each other every weekend since the 1st of December. So it'll be weird when we don't see each other on the weekend. It's going to be crazy getting kind of used to it.
Going along with that, there is some news that we need to put out. Not something I necessarily want to talk about, but so I got news. I think I actually got the news Thursday.
Did you?
Yeah, Thursday evening that I am being activated. So as everybody should be well aware that I am in the military and I am in the Army National Guard and I am being activated in support of, I think it's COVID response.
I think so. I mean, and I don't know anything, but I've just heard on the news that they're activating National Guard members to help.
So you know as much as I do, because I don't know anything.
Well, you don't watch the news. You've made that comment before.
That's true. I don't watch the news.
I don't watch the news either, except for when we turn on our TV, Spectrum One's on, and they do. And I, not to promote anybody, but you know, I don't watch like the local Dayton channel or anything. Spectrum One comes on, and they have some really great stories, especially Christian-based stories, throughout their segments that they do. Okay. So sometimes we just have it on. And that's just where I had heard it, you know, sometime this week, is that they were going to activate the National Guard in response to all of the people in the hospitals because they were understaffed at the hospitals. Mind you, I don't know if that's what you're doing, but I don't know either. Questioned whenever
you said it. Yeah, I just know I have a report date and a time.
Happy birthday to you.
Yeah, happy birthday to me. Mm-hmm. And so I have a report time. A report date, and I have a tentative end date, which is going to be about a 3-month activation. But I don't know. I know I'll be within the state, but I don't know where at in the state.
Okay, so you're going to stay in Ohio. You're not going to be like in Kentucky or Indiana or even like Utah. You're going to be in the state of Ohio. That's nice to know.
But I don't know where at in Ohio.
Right.
Hopefully, it's someplace close.
So that way you can stay with your family.
And so we're saying this because we don't know how it's going to affect the podcast.
Yeah, we get 318 followers. I mean, I think I was applauding 100 the last podcast, and we're up to 318 or whatever. And now it's like a kick in the gut almost, but it's something that we can.
But it's like we talked about before we started recording. The way we look at things, that everything is a part of God's plan. So
yeah, because this was not planned. This podcast.
The podcast wasn't really planned. It was just an idea I had on the drive home from drill one weekend.
And you said, Michelle, you want to do a podcast?
And sure. You know, when I asked you that, I was fully expecting a no. You're crazy.
I know, because you'll do it with me, and I'm like. You have to remember who you're asking. I love to talk, but I know nothing about podcasts.
You agreed to it so fast. I didn't know how to respond. So I'm like, oh man, I guess maybe I should look into how to do this. And so that's when the whole process started.
Yeah, now it's going to take and we're going to hope that we can do it remote.
Yes.
Mind you, that's going to be a little bit on me because I'm not really technically sound with a lot of things, but you know, I've got people in our lives who are, so I'm sure that somebody will be able to help me out.
So, yeah, but again, like I said, or like we said, I don't know where I'm going to be. So it might be where I can still come home and record.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that might be something if I talk to my
chain of command. God's plan.
Yeah.
You know, keep us close.
Yeah. So if maybe I can talk to my chain of command and they'll give me, you know, that day each week to come home.
Or if it's someplace that's close and, you know, maybe Paige wants to come and we'll just get in a car and, you know, we can do an hour time of you and I, and then you guys can do your thing and, you know, I can drive with her, because, you know, that's the one thing that, you know, I want to make sure that, you know, Paige and the boys are taken care of too.
Yeah.
And if there's if it's not too far away and that we can take a drive, I mean, even Don would drive us up there just because of the fact of what it's for. So we'll figure it out. We want to keep you guys happy.
So our plan is to continue to record, continue to release every week.
Yeah.
If for some reason there is going to be a delay, then we will let you know on Facebook. But our plan is that there won't be any delay. We won't miss any episodes. But it's just going to be a little bit of a challenge on our end. So we just just ask that everybody realizes that and respects that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, our well-oiled machine might have a hiccup.
Maybe.
Well-oiled
it might,
machine.
It might, need, might need to go to the shop and have
right.
a tune-up.
Oh, shoot. So, but, well, we will. We'll keep you updated. You can follow us on our Facebook page, Pure Faith Podcast. And you can also see pictures of Mitchell, and you can comment on anything.
Please. You know, we're going to start putting pictures of you up there,
no,
too.
There's no reason. It's your, I'm
well,
a co-host.
There might be people
you know, the
out there.
The co-host doesn't have, like, they're nobody.
No, co-host is equal. Co.
No, no,
co.
No.
They're the same.
Oh.
The only reason I'm the host is because I'm the one that works the computer.
Right. You're the one who has this giant microphone.
Yeah.
And these head things.
Yeah. They're yeah, these head things.
Right. I told
the
you
earmuffs.
I'm not technically sound.
The earmuffs to keep our ears warm while
yeah,
we talk.
Yeah, our earmuffs. Oh, what a great morning. You would have thought I was hungover, but I'm not. I'm hungover with joy this morning, people.
You're drunk on Jesus is what you
right.
are.
Oh, I love it. I love the laughter.
But anyways,
okay.
I don't even remember where we're going with
that. I don't
know,
but I'm trying not to be so serious because some of the feedback I got was, why are you so serious on this podcast? And I said, I feel like I have to be so grown up around Mitchell. Well, I'm letting that fly out the door because you know what?
Wait, you said you had to be more grown up around me?
Because I'm your older sibling. I have to be more grown up. I got to be more grown up.
I don't know if there's anybody more childish than I am.
Well, I know. So it doesn't take much. It's
it doesn't
just the
take
fact
much.
That I feel like I have to. Mom, help us.
Oh. We need more help than that.
Oh, between mom and Jesus, we should be fine. God
maybe,
bless you, Paige.
Maybe a little psychiatric help wouldn't be bad.
Oh, I'm loving it. Absolutely loving it. What are we talking about today? What are we doing?
Well, eventually, once we get composed, we're going to talk about the Bible.
Oh,
no, we need to. We do need to get into this.
Yeah.
So, their plan for today, for the Bible study aspect, is we're going to reiterate some of the Jacob story in general.
Yeah, I really do. Like I told you, you know, I went home and one evening I was sitting there and I reread the story of Jacob, and you know, it really is. It's a good story with a lot of lessons behind it too, because you know, people, even though you don't think they're going to deceive you, sometimes do not have good in their heart, and you know, you see that in this story.
Yes, yes, that is the prominent focal point throughout this story. And so we are going to talk about how Jacob is the father of Judah and his brothers, and so this will be the story of how Jacob meets Rebecca and Leah and
yeah.
and all this. We're not going to focus on all the rest of the brothers. We're only going to highlight the first four, the four oldest, because again, this whole Bible study, I mean, the reason we're focusing on this is because we're focusing on the genealogy of Jesus and
right.
going past the fourth son, which is Judah, for those who may not be aware, we'll be covering that. But going past Judah as far as the sons go, it's now we're going into a different area, and that's not the area we want to focus on.
Okay.
Because let's be honest here, we're on
oh my
our
gosh.
third actual Bible study podcast, or is this the fourth one?
I think this is the,
this
fourth,
is the
one.
Fourth one.
Mm-hmm.
And we're only on Matthew 1, 2. Working on our way into Matthew
but
1.
You can't rush
3.
It.
It's
mind
true.
You say we're in Matthew 1, 2, whatever you just said. What did you just say?
We're in Matthew 1, 2, and 3.
But yet, as I've said multiple times, we started at Matthew 1, but you have to go back to Genesis to
yes.
get to where we're at. So even though it looks like we've not done much,
we've covered a lot of information.
We have covered a lot of information.
Yes.
And I mean, the notes that we have, the verses that we're reading, they're all over the place. So even though we're in Matthew and we're not very far into it, we've covered a lot.
Yes.
And we've been able to find different things throughout the Bible to come back to where we are
yes.
currently. So,
and you know, you just said that And with you just saying that, it's a good spot to really highlight the fact that, like I said, whenever we first started all this, Matthew was written for the Jewish people.
Yes.
So we've spent hours talking about this so far, where the Jewish reader in that day, if they would have read this, they would have known all this from memory. They would
Right.
have had it
You had said
memorized.
that in one of our
Yes.
episodes that they are, from a young age, they're told the story to be able to retell it
Yes,
like
they are
it's.
trained to memorize
Yes.
because they didn't have printed books back then and all that.
Right.
So they had to do everything from memory. So whenever I say they read this, whenever they heard this,
Right.
they would instantly know what the person speaking was talking about. They would have memorized all of these stories. So yeah, we're only in Matthew 1, verse 2,
Right.
and we spent hours getting to this point. But in real time for the Jewish reader at the time, it would have been, you know, 10 seconds of reading,
Right. Right.
and they would have had these hours worth of information just instantly in their minds, and they would know exactly what the person speaking was talking about.
And
So,
we talked about robots with Zeke. That's basically what it is. They robotically memorized all the stories to be able to retell them in a certain way, where we're looking at this saying, look at all this information. I had no idea. Whenever I pick up the Bible to read it, I read Matthew. Never would have I been like, we're going back to Genesis. We're going back to, what's that word I can't say?
Ecclesiastes.
Yeah, I can't say that. We're going back to these other stories to come up with where we're at in Matthew. I just, it's.
And you know what I found interesting about what you just said?
What did you find interesting?
That you reincorporated robot
I know, I did that
back
on purpose. I know, because
into.
I love Zeke. I do. His robot is probably so cute. I might have to record it tonight too. Quit doing the okay, so Mitchell's just dancing now, so this is fantastic. But I might have to record that tonight too.
Oh yeah.
I want all of our viewers to know that they can enjoy our family by maybe even a video of Zeke doing the robot
That's
tonight
fine.
at the family wedding.
I mean, I get plenty of videos of Zeke.
Oh my gosh, I do too. Okay,
So,
sorry, I totally got off
okay, I
track.
was just going to
Sorry,
share another
friends.
story.
Okay.
All right. This isn't about Zeke right now.
It is not.
Okay, now I don't remember where we
We're
were.
in Jacob when we were talking about how we're only going to talk about the four brothers, the first
Yes.
four brothers, because they are the line of Jesus.
Okay, so let's go ahead and get into this. And the Bible reference that we're going to be using for this is in Genesis 29. So if you haven't read Genesis 29 and you're in a position to where you can pause this and go read Genesis 29, it won't take very long to read, 5, 10 minutes. And then you can come back and listen to us explain it. I'm not going to read it, because you know very well how much we talk, and we need that 5 to 10 minutes
Yes,
to fill it up with just us talking.
absolutely.
So I'm just going to give a brief overview, and we'll do this as we're doing this whole study. So again, as you might remember from towards the end of our last episode, Jacob goes to Padan Aram because Rebekah helped trick Isaac to give Jacob the blessing of the firstborn son. Because of this, Esau wanted to kill Jacob, and again, Rebekah was like, I need to protect my favorite child here. So Rebekah goes to Isaac and was like, we don't like these Canaanite wives that Esau has. Let's send Jacob back to my hometown, the city of Haran, and I have a brother there. Let's send Jacob back to my brother so he can find a wife from that family, from our family, so he doesn't have to marry these Canaanite women.
Right.
So let's keep in mind here that whenever Abraham, and I mentioned this in the last episode, when Abraham wanted a wife for Isaac, Abraham sent his servant so Isaac wouldn't leave the promised land.
Right.
Now, next generation, Isaac and Rebecca are sending Jacob to go find his own wife, but it's not so much for the idea of finding a wife as much as it is to protect him from Esau because of what Jacob and Rebecca did to deceive.
Yeah, to deceive both dad both, and
yeah,
brother.
Isaac and
yeah.
Esau.
Yeah.
So Jacob leaves. He goes back to Padan Aram. He comes up to the city of Haran. He finds some shepherds sitting around this water hole, mm-hmm. waiting to water their sheep. He goes up to them, and he basically greets them, asks them if they know Laban. And through conversation, they figure out, you know, he's at the right place. They know Laban. Laban is good. Laban's daughter, Rebecca, comes up. She's a shepherdess. She's coming up to water the sheep. Jacob sees Rebecca coming up, sees that she's beautiful, falls in love with her instantly.
Right.
He goes, uncovers the well, waters Laban's sheep. Jacob basically goes to Rebecca, says, hey, I'm your cousin,
uh-huh.
basically. Uh-huh. And Rachel goes back and tells her father Laban, like, hey, our cousin, you know, your nephew,
yeah.
your sister's son, mm-hmm. Rebecca's son, is here. He goes out, greets him, family reunion, everything's swell. So then Jacob is basically brought into the family of Laban, brought into the house, becomes part of the family.
Right.
And so, and that is all kind of a recap. We've already kind of covered that towards the end of the last episode. But now we're getting into what's going to happen now that Jacob is a part of Laban's family, so to speak. We are going to kind of cover the whole Rachel Leah mm-hmm. situation. Mm-hmm. So again, I'm not reading this. I'm just going off of like a synopsis type thing. But after a month, Laban goes up to Jacob's like, you know, even though you're your relation, you shouldn't have to work for me for free. So what are your wages? What would you like to be paid for working for me? And as I already said, whenever Jacob first got to this area, he seen Rebecca for the first time. He instantly fell in love. So he tells Laban, I will work for you for 7 years.
7 years.
Mm-hmm. Which I don't know where they get this number from.
I don't know either.
7 years. Yep. Let me work for you for 7 years. And for that time of service, give me Rebecca as wife. Mm-hmm. And Laban says, that sounds fair. Let's do that. So they make the deal. Jacob basically works for Laban. He's a shepherd. He takes care of the flocks and does all that kind of fun stuff. Just basically a laborer.
Yes. For 7 years.
For 7 years. And now you have to keep in mind, you know, for us, 7 years seems like a long time, but our lifespan is shorter. I mean, they're still not extremely long lifespans.
Right.
But I think it was Abraham lived for 175 years.
Yeah. Like some of these lifespans, I was like, holy cow. That's a long life.
It is. A long life. But you got to remember they were populating the earth back then.
Right.
And I could get into that, but that'll be
right, and we're staying on focus.
Okay.
We're talking about
focus.
Jacob.
Focus.
He works for Laban 7 years. He wants Rachel's hand in marriage, and then Laban throws this feast. Yeah, and the feast is for the marriage, and that's when the deceit starts.
It does. So yes, Jacob completes his 7 years, and so there's a marriage feast. This feast is a feast of marriage. It's like a week long. Party, basically. At least that's the way I understand it, is that's basically a week-long feast. And at the end of the first night or whatever, and this is really confusing about how this worked, because I've read two different versions. Basically, the same thing's happening. It's just opposite. So I've heard one where Jacob goes into the tent, and then Laban sends in Leah instead of Rachel.
And Leah is Rachel's older sister.
Yes, older sister. And they consummate the marriage. But then I've also heard that Leah was already in the tent, and then Jacob comes in and consummates the marriage. Either way, I'm not quite sure how Jacob didn't realize who he was sleeping with.
I would just think the only way I can think about it is the fact that if it's in a tent and it's dark in the middle of the night and there's no lights, then that he's just not a clue. It's just a woman. Like, he just assumes that no one's going to give him a sister. Like, he just assumes that's who it is. I have no idea.
Yeah, it's
all happening by the light of the moon is how I look at it.
Yeah.
And if they're feasting and you're.
But like, do they not talk?
I don't know.
I mean, wouldn't you say hi at least?
A lot of weird things happened back then.
That's true.
I don't know. Maybe they didn't say hi.
I mean, how's it going? I mean, you're getting ready to sleep with each other. You're getting ready to consummate your marriage. I mean, you just got married.
Yeah. But there's a lot of things that happen in the Bible that deal with, well, alcohol and sex and incest and all of this, where people just don't realize. And like, maybe everybody just looks the same.
Maybe.
I mean, I have no idea.
Although the Bible says that Leo was weak in the eyes, which, not 100% sure what that means. That could actually mean that she like had a lazy eye or something, or maybe she just wasn't very good looking.
I'm going to say, if we go by my husband's version of weak to the eye, weak in the eye, she's not that good looking. That's how I'm going to go with it.
It's possible.
That would be a kind way of saying that she was not
hideous.
But no, that she was hideous and that she was not as beautiful as Rachel.
Could be.
Either way.
Because, again, on that topic.
It's dark and he can't see her. So, anyhow, it happens.
Yes, it happens.
And he gets upset. Why did you send in your daughter Leah instead of who I was working for the last 7 years? I was working for Rachel. Why did you send in Leah to my tent?
Yeah.
And
this all happened the next morning is whenever Jacob confronts Laban about what he did. And Laban's response, like you just said, you know, Jacob was like, why did you do this? And Laban's response was, well, I don't know how things work where you're from, but in our culture, we don't give the younger daughter in marriage before the older.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So this was the first case of deception.
Right.
From Laban. And
which is beyond me, because first of all, they're family.
Yeah.
Second of all, the man has worked for you for 7 years for his wage that you agreed upon.
Yes.
And you completely blindsided him. You throw a feast, you get him drunk, you throw him in a tent. Mind you, I don't know if he was drunk.
I don't know.
But you throw him in a tent with a woman, and it's not even the one that he's worked for.
Exactly. So, yes, there are some unknowns here.
Mm-hmm.
But we do know that Laban tricked Jacob into marrying Leah instead of Rachel.
Right.
And
Leah knows, too. That
yes, Leah knows.
Jacob, that is not where his heart is.
Yes. But before we get into that, let's take a step back to our last episode where we focused a little bit more on Laban and Rebecca and their family.
Yeah.
About how there
so
may
Laban
have been
deceived Jacob, but Rebecca had deceived Isaac.
Yes.
With the whole Esau and Jacob getting the first blessing and, you know, taking the whole lamb and making his arms hairy and putting stench on him so he smelled like Esau. So you're exactly right. You have two siblings both being deceitful to their loved ones.
Yes. It's that family. Like I think I said it last episode, there is a reason that God chose Abraham's family as opposed to his brothers.
Yes.
So maybe because, again, like we said last episode, Abraham is the line of Jesus, but Rebekah and Laban are sons of Bethuel, who are the son of Nahor.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of choosing Nahor or Haran as the chosen people, the chosen line, he chooses Abraham. So I think there just might be some deceit that runs through Nahor's family line. So bringing it back to where we were, Laban tricked Jacob into marrying Leah. Jacob confronts him. Laban's response is, like I already said, we don't give the younger before the older.
Right.
If you want to marry Rebecca, then finish this week-long marriage feast. That way, I guess at the end of that week-long feast, then the marriage is official. After that week, then you can also marry Rachel, and then you can complete that week-long marriage feast. And then after that, you can complete another 7 years.
Right.
Of
so
service.
He was saying, you know, for 14 years of service, you can marry both of my daughters.
Yes.
Which is something that they did back then. It wasn't just a single marriage. You know,
this yes. This polygamy right. was,
yeah.
it wasn't
a sin.
It wasn't a sin, but it wasn't what God intended.
Right.
But it's something that they did and God allowed, but it wasn't necessarily what God wanted.
So, again, I look at it this way. So, then you've got Leah and you've got Rachel, who are sisters. They're both married to Jacob. Leah knows that Jacob did not truly love her with his heart, that he loved Rachel. But there's this whole line of sons now where
yes.
Rachel isn't able to have children at first. Is that correct?
That is correct. Rachel was barren at the beginning.
Yeah, so Leah is the one that who is blessed with, you know, her first son, Reuben. And she, after she has her first child, she even says, now Jacob will love me because I've given him a son, right?
Yes. But before we go too much further, there's something I want to highlight. Whenever Laban gave Leah to Jacob as a wife with, and this is more important for stuff we're not getting into, but it's something that we should cover.
Oh, okay.
Zilpah was also given as a maidservant to Leah. And then therefore it was Bilhah was given as a maidservant
to
with
Rachel.
Rachel. Yes.
So they both had a maidservant once they got
yes.
married. Yes.
And that's important just for the simple fact that whenever you look back and for those that may not know, Jacob's name will be changed to Israel, and Jacob
yes.
becomes the father of the 12 tribes of Israel.
Yes.
Well, in these 12 tribes, all four of these women are mothers of
sons
these tribes.
To
yes.
Jacob, yes.
So it's Leah, Rachel, Zilpah, and Bilhah.
Mm-hmm.
They're all four mothers of the tribes of Israel. So that's just something I wanted to highlight. We're not getting into that. We're only going to cover the four oldest ones, which are the sons of Leah. But that's something that I think is important for everybody to know
yes.
to help with the big picture as far as what's going on.
Right.
So, yes, like you were saying, Rachel was barren at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But in the way they say it in the scripture is Leah says that God seen that she wasn't loved. So she sent her son, her first son. And this is important because there is something in here I want to highlight. So let me actually open up my Bible to Genesis 29 here at the end. And it will be starting in verse 31. I'm going to read Genesis 29, 31 through the end of 29.
Okay.
And it says, when the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, he enabled her to conceive, but Rachel remained childless. Leah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Reuben, for she said, it is because the Lord has seen my misery. Surely my husband will love me now. She conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, because the Lord heard that I am not loved, he gave me this one too. So she named him Simeon. Again she conceived, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, now at last my husband will become attached to me, because I have borne him three sons. So he was named Levi. She conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, this time I will praise the Lord. So she named him Judah. Then she stopped having children. So something I want to highlight, the first three sons, she was looking at them selfishly.
Yes.
She's like, I gave Jacob a son. Jacob's going to love me. I gave Jacob a son. Jacob's going to love me now. I gave Jacob a son. Why doesn't he love me?
Right.
Fourth son. Forget Jacob.
Yeah.
Let's praise God.
Yeah. I've had four.
And something else is, again, this isn't in my notes, but something to keep in mind is as Israel, these 12 tribes become a nation and they start moving into the promised land. Whenever they start going in to battle these nations that are already in the land that they're taking over, Judah's tribe always goes first. What is the definition of Judah? To praise God.
Praise God.
So the way we should attack everything in our lives
is to praise God.
Is to send praise to God first. So no matter what's going on, like this whole activation, this whole shuffle that we're going through in our lives, first thing we need to do is praise God.
Right.
After that, everything else will fall in line. You can figure everything else after that. First thing, praise God. And
we've had to do that a lot lately.
Yes.
We praise God even though we have lost our father. We praise God to have family. We praise God that we're here together and that we're doing this podcast.
Yes.
There's a reason for all of it. So that is something that we need to look at.
So that is something I really wanted to highlight because I think it is very important, is the whole aspect of praising God.
And people are selfish.
They are.
I'm selfish. I can be selfish. Yeah. I have been selfish.
Me too. I'm also guilty.
Yes. And this is a whole eye-opener that, you know, if we praise God and we put Him first, that all else will fall into place. And
yes.
It's a good way to look at it. And I hope that you all take that from this.
Yes. And I agree. So, and going back to the Bible study, one more thing is through Judah is the line that goes to Jesus. That is the lineage that we are going to be focusing on. And notice it's the fourth son. It's not the oldest. It's even though Jacob tricked Esau and Isaac to getting the right and blessing of the firstborn son and all this other stuff, it's not about the firstborn.
Mm-mm.
So it's about the fact that Judah was born and God was praised for it.
Right.
It wasn't, there wasn't any deceit. I mean, I'm not saying Leah was trying to deceive Jacob or anything, but you know, the first three sons.
It's almost like the first three were trophies to her also,
yes.
You know, like, okay, you know, Rachel, I'm the one who's giving him his sons. You
yes.
know, God's giving them to me and not to you. So her whole line of being selfish there.
And she's trying to use those sons to
keep
barter her way for Jacob's love.
Yeah. To keep the marriage, you know, knowing that his heart isn't to her and that it's to her sister, you know, and kids do that. They, you know, they pull at your heartstrings and, you know, you can look at it that way. Like, you know, he's going to love me more because I've given him a child. The love's for the child. It doesn't mean that the love's going to be for you if you're not doing it for the right purposes. So
that fourth son, Judah, that's where it wasn't about. There was no, just from this little bit that we read, it doesn't seem like there's any deception there. It was, I had another son. Thank you, God, for giving me this child, for being in our lives. So, and that's the line of Jesus.
Right.
So that's going to pretty much wrap up the Jacob, where Jacob is the father of Judah, because guess what? Judah was just born.
Judah was born.
So Judah's here. So our next step in the line. And, you know, we just gave, like, Judah all this praise. You know, he was named because, you know, praising God. His name means to praise God. Judah, his life didn't follow that same path. So our next generation is Judah is the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. And we're going to be talking about Judah and Perez and Zerah. But
Oh, I just turned my page on my notes on Judah.
this we're going to be focusing more on the Tamar aspect of this story. So this is going to be the big transition going from line by line genealogy to now we're going to focus more on the women. So from this point on, we'll be focusing on Tamar, and then we'll be focusing on
Ruth,
Ruth and
Rahab.
yes.
Okay.
So we'll be focusing on these women. So the story of Judah and Tamar and everything involved here is in Genesis 38. I want to turn to Genesis 38. So I'm going to go ahead and read this because it's all pretty much self-explanatory in the text. And we'll just highlight a few areas. So I'm going to read verses 1 through 11 first. Again, this is Genesis 38. At that time, Judah left his brothers and went down to stay with a man of Adullam named Hurah. There, Judah met the daughter of a Canaanite man named Shua. He married her and made love to her. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son who was named Ur. She conceived again and gave birth to a son and named him Onan. She gave birth to still another son and named him Shelah. It was at Kizib that she gave birth to him. Judah got a wife for Ur, his firstborn, and her name was Tamar. But Ur, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the Lord's sight, so the Lord put him to death. Then Judah said to Onan, "Sleep with your brother's wife and fulfill your duty to her as a brother-in-law to raise up offspring for your brother." But Onan knew that the child would not be his, so whenever he slept with his brother's wife, he spilled his semen on the ground to keep from providing offspring for his brother. What he did was wicked in the Lord's sight, so the Lord put him to death also. Judah then said to his daughter-in-law, Tamar, "Live as a widow in your father's household until my son Shelah grows up," for he thought, "He may die too, just like his brothers." So Tamar went to live in her father's household. So that's pretty much self-explanatory.
Yep.
Judah married a Canaanite woman. They had three sons. The oldest son was named Ur. Judah finds a wife for Ur, who was Tamar,
Tamar.
who we're going to be focusing on. Well, Ur was not a good person.
Right.
I mean, even though his father's name was to praise God, apparently he wasn't praising God, and the
He was
Lord
wicked.
pretty much struck him down. Well, then the next son, Onan,
Who back in the day, if the next son was not married, then they
yes,
were to
this
step up
was,
and take over the responsibility of being
yes.
married to the one that
Yes.
had lost their
That was
husband.
Jewish law back in those days.
Okay.
And so this is what was going. That is why Onan stepped up to marry. Well, he didn't really step up. He was told
He
he
was
had to
told,
do this,
right, he was
even though he
told he
didn't
had
want
to do
to.
it, and you're right, he didn't want to do it, and he knew that the only reason that Judah wanted him to do it was for children, for
Yes.
their family line, and he's like, but you
And
don't want my kids,
that
you
was,
wanted Ur's kids.
yes, that's the whole reason why the next son would step up to marry. And the whole point of it was so that son could basically get his sister-in-law pregnant, but those children wouldn't be his children.
Right.
Those children would be the children of
The
the
first part,
deceased
yeah.
brother. And you got to remember, in this society, it was a very man-centered society.
Right.
If there was no man or even a male son, then that woman was had nothing.
Right.
And we'll get into that more whenever we get into Ruth. But and I don't know if that's the reason for this law. Again, I didn't do a bunch of research into these actual laws, these
Right.
old Jewish laws. But one has to think that the whole reason for this was so that that daughter-in-law, or whatever, in this case Tamar, would have a male
Bloodline,
offspring.
yeah, a bloodline to Judah.
Yes, that so she wouldn't be, out with nothing for the rest of her life.
Right.
So yes, Onan is pretty much forced to marry Tamar, but Onan hated this concept, so he was doing things deceitfully.
Yes.
He took steps to make sure that Tamar didn't get pregnant.
Right.
The Lord did not like this, and so the Lord also struck Onan down. So now
you have the third brother.
You have the third son.
Too young.
Yes.
To do any of this.
Yes.
I'm glad they see it this way.
That's true. But again, the deception's not over.
I know.
So Judah tells Tamar, hey, you know, put on widow's clothes, go back, live with your family. Well, the reason he did this is, well, one, yes, Shelah was too young. But at the same time, he had no intention of letting Tamar marry Shelah. I mean, let's face the facts.
He's lost two sons since she's been around.
Yeah, so she's bad luck. Let's get rid of her and let's ship her off and forget about her and go on about our business. And that's basically what he does.
Mm-hmm.
So now let's continue on in the reading of Genesis 38 and read verses 12 through 26. Where am I at? Right here. After a long time, Judah's wife, the daughter of Shua, died. When Judah had recovered from his grief, he went up to Timnah, to the men who were shearing his sheep, and his friend Hurah the Adullamite went with him. When Tamar was told, "Your father-in-law is on his way to Timnah to shear his sheep," she took off her widow's clothes, covered herself with a veil to disguise herself, and then sat down at the entrance to Enaim, which is on the road to Timnah. For she saw that though Shelah had now grown up, she had not been given to him as his wife. When Judah saw her, he thought she was a prostitute, for she had covered her face. Not realizing that she was his daughter-in-law, he went over to her by the roadside and said, "Come now, let me sleep with you." "And what will you give me to sleep with you?" she asked. "I'll send you a young goat from my flock," he said. "Will you give me something as a pledge until you send it?" she asked. He said, "What pledge should I give you?" "Your seal and its cord, and the staff in your hand," she answered. So he gave them to her and slept with her, and she became pregnant by him. After she left, she took off her veil and put on her widow's clothes again. Meanwhile, Judah sent the young goat by his friend the Adullamite in order to get his pledge back from the woman. But he did not find her. He asked the men who lived there, "Where is the shrine prostitute who was beside the road at Enaim?" "There hasn't been any shrine prostitute here," they said. So he went back to Judah and said, "I didn't find her. Besides, the men who lived there said, there hasn't been any shrine prostitute here." Then Judah said, "Let her keep what she has, or we will become a laughingstock. After all, I did send her this young goat, but you didn't find her." About 3 months later, Judah was told, "Your daughter-in-law Tamar is guilty of prostitution, and as a result, she is now pregnant." Judah said, "Bring her out and have her burned to death." As she was being brought out, she sent a message to her father-in-law. "I am pregnant by the man who owns these," she said. And she added, "See if you recognize whose seal and cord and staff these are." Judah recognized them and said, "She is more righteous than I, since I wouldn't give her my son Shelah," and he did not sleep with her again. So, now we see what really happens. This whole interesting story of Tamar.
Yeah. So she saw that she was sent away, and that the third son was not given to her as a husband.
Exactly.
And decided that, you know what, two can play this game.
Yep.
I'm going to go ahead. And I am assuming she knew at that point that Judah's wife had died.
Probably.
I don't know either. But she went knowing that he was going to cross this path, that she was going to sit there and look like a prostitute. And she also knew that if she took his staff and seal and cord,
yes,
they only belong to one person.
Yes.
And everybody would know who that person was.
Yes.
So she was trying to make sure that she had, you know, the items to prove what he had done.
And like you said that, Judah would have been a person of stature. I mean, the fact that he had
a seal and a staff and a sword.
Yes, that's the kind of thing that people have, like back in those days. It'd be like a king has a special seal that he seals all of his letters with. Mm-hmm. So if somebody sees it, they know that this was sealed by the king. And it was,
it's not a duplicate.
It was law abiding. Like this is how it is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically what it was. It was his special personal seal that if anybody's seen the seal on anything, they knew it came from Judah. And he thought
he was going to get it back. He thought once I give her this goat, she's going to give this back to me. And then I'll have it again. Nobody will know any different because I just need to get the goat to her.
Yes. Then she was gone.
She was gone. They couldn't find her until.
And they didn't pursue looking for her. No, because
they just assumed she was a prostitute, right?
Yeah. And they didn't want, you know, they start going around asking all these questions. And like I said, Judah was a man of stature.
People if he starts going around, together,
then
yeah.
That's where the whole, they become a laughing stock. So it's like, you know what? I can have another.
But how interesting is it that as soon as he hears that she is pregnant and that it's not by his son, he was going to have her burned to death or stoned to death, whatever it was. Yes. I've heard both
versions. I've heard both too.
But he was going to have her put to death because she had gone outside of their, is it an agreement, their family
pretty
agreement?
Much.
And she was like, two can play this game.
And the reason he was, as soon as he heard, he's like, bring her out.
Because
kill
then
her.
There's no connection to their family.
Exactly. It is a way for him to basically break this prison-like thing over his family.
Yeah. That way he still has one son because in his eyes, she killed off the other two.
Yes.
So
it's a way of him getting Sheila away from that relationship, that imprisonment, and a way of basically setting him free so he can find another wife and then continue on his family line.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the way it worked.
So when she was able to show the cord, the staff, and the seal, then of course he knew that he had.
Yep. Then it's like, this is the, and I'm saying in quotes, shrine prostitute that he slept with, but it wasn't the shrine prostitute. It was his daughter-in-law.
She's getting a lot more than a goat.
She's getting, you know, basically a future father of Jesus.
Yeah.
Because this is the line that Jesus came from.
And we talked about this. No line is perfect.
No.
No family line is perfect.
No.
And this is another story that shows that the line of Jesus was not a perfect line.
No.
Mm-mm.
So if we will say this a lot throughout this whole genealogy, if your family situation isn't what you would consider ideal, it doesn't really matter. I mean, it's bad that you're in that situation, but if you look at the line of Jesus, the line of Jesus has a lot of deceit. Right. And
you have to look at it this way. Like, the line that you have was given to you by God.
Yes.
Like, so even though you might feel, you know, whether it's good or bad, you know, because some families, it's not about the eyes looking into your family. It's not about that, even though that's how we perceive things. It's like,
yes,
how will the community see this? That's not what it should be about. It should be about, you know, how is God getting us? You know, why do we have this line? Why do we have what we have? It's not about the outside looking in.
Yes. So in those situations, you do need to take an internal look. You need to build your relationship with God and Jesus and just trust in Jesus.
Yeah.
Just like the whole Abraham and Sarah, just trust that Jesus has a plan for you.
Show patience.
Show patience. And just trust in God.
This is really hitting really hard though too, and we discussed this earlier, you know, it's hard to be patient. It's hard to show gratitude sometimes.
Yeah.
When you feel like you've been knocked down, but only feel like you're knocked down for that brief moment, because then you need to realize this is the path that God has chosen for me, which is true for what's going on with you right now.
Yeah.
You know, this is not the time in our eyes that a deployment works.
Yeah.
But that's us looking in. Obviously, this is God's path for something, and whatever it is, we'll find out.
Yeah.
It's, you know.
And like I told you, whenever I first got this word that I was being activated, I was upset. You know, it's not what I wanted to do.
Right.
It's not what I want to do. But it only took me a few hours to realize, you know, it's not about me. It's not about what I want. Mm-hmm. If this is happening, then it's because it's what God wanted to happen.
Right.
So at that point, it's out of my hands.
Absolutely.
If this is going on and it's not supposed to happen for me this way, God's going to change it. He'll open up a door and be like, oh, here's the exit. You know, this is going on, but you're not actually supposed to be on this ride. Here's the exit, and go this way. And if I see that exit, okay, I'll take it.
Yep.
Otherwise, I'm going to sit down and enjoy the ride.
Otherwise, there's a reason for all of it. And like I just said, we may not know until it's completely over what that was or what it's supposed to be.
Exactly.
But there is a reason for what is happening.
And it's not my job to question
it's
why
not.
Things happen.
So it's so hard, though. It's so hard.
Is.
And that's what I want everyone to know, too. Like, you might feel like you're being punished day after day. I mean, in your life, you might feel like you are being punished. But just know that it is a path being created for you for a purpose. It's not a punishment.
Yes. That's a very good point in all that.
Mm.
As some would say, that would preach.
Mm.
So we're getting short on time.
Yes,
and there's just a little bit left here.
Oh, okay.
And so we're going to go ahead and tackle this last little bit.
Oh,
so,
yes, that is right.
And that's the actual birth of Perez and Zerah. And this is Genesis 38, 27 through 30. So it says, when the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. As she was giving birth, one of them put out his hand. So the midwife took a scarlet thread and tied it on his wrist and said, this one came out first. But when he drew back his hand, his brother came out. And she said, so this is how you have broken out. And he was named Perez. Then his brother, who had the scarlet thread on his wrist, came out. And he was named Zerah. So I really don't know how to interpret this.
I really don't either.
I don't know what it means.
I mean, the only thing I could go back to was this whole firstborn.
Yeah.
But.
Because technically Zerah was born first because his hand was out. But then.
He probably saw what he was coming into. It was like, nope. Not now.
It's I'll stay in here for a little bit longer.
Yeah, you go. Let me know how it is.
So yeah, this.
I
don't know. Maybe I didn't spend enough time studying that aspect.
If anybody has any feedback, give it to us, because we'd like to hear what you'd have to say about this. But I'm going with you here. Like, what is it with the scarlet cord?
I don't know.
Why are they putting it around his wrist?
But again. This isn't about Perez and Zerah. We wanted to highlight Tamar.
Yeah,
so
right.
That's probably why I never really dove too deep into that, because like I said, we wanted to talk about Tamar. And there's a reason Matthew put the women's names in this genealogy.
Yep.
And like we said at the beginning of this one, the Jewish readers or the Jewish listeners that would have heard this, just the mention of Tamar's name would have brought up the story, and they would have known this deception and and everything else that was going on. So that's what we want to highlight, is that deception, how Tamar was deceived into basically not giving Sheila as a husband. But then at the same time, Tamar turns around and deceives
Judah
into thinking that she was a prostitute.
Yeah.
And through that deception, then Perez and Zerah were born, and Perez continues the line of Jesus.
Okay.
So that's the whole point of this current Bible study, is that that's what we're focusing on. So, yeah, we're not going to highlight the whole what this means, because we're not actually going to continue on with Perez. Once we get into our next Bible study, we're going to actually skip a couple generations and go down to Matthew 1:5, which this is where we're going to start focusing in on Rahab and the story of Rahab and everything about Rahab. And hopefully we'll have enough time to also get into Ruth. And I don't know if we'll be able to get through both of them in one episode.
Okay.
We probably could if we run a little long. I don't know.
Okay, so we're going to focus, though, on Rahab first.
Yes.
Okay.
And you'll find the story of Rahab in basically Joshua 2 is the vast majority of it.
Oh, okay.
There's also a little segment of Joshua 6, 24 and 25.
Okay.
That little bit is just kind of like the little final icing on that.
And these are going to be on your notes also, just so I'm not sure if anyone's following us again on the Facebook page. Mitchell did upload his notes to the Facebook page. I know you can click on them and you can zoom in and you can see them, but I don't know if you can print them.
We will find a better way of getting you these notes to where you can print them if you would like. And it might even be a third-party app like Dropbox, because I know you can share Dropbox on there, and I could send links to that. So yes, you can look on the notes that I uploaded to Facebook this last time. And then if we're lucky and we're on the ball and have our stuff together, which we probably won't, then we'll also be getting into Ruth. So I recommend reading the book of Ruth, even though we've probably been recommending this for a while now and we still haven't got there.
I know.
If you haven't read it yet.
We'll get there.
So yeah, we'll get there. So other than that, I think we're good. So we thank you for joining us for another episode of Pure Faith Podcast. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, you can email us at purefaithpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on almost all podcast platforms. So we ask that you leave a review and follow us. And we also ask that you check out our Facebook page. I know we're asking a lot from you guys.
We are asking a lot. But I want you all to know, too, that we have received some emails and some comments, and we'll respond to them as well. I look forward to this coming week to grow in my knowledge about our faith. And I look forward to looking into Ruth and Rahab for next week. So join us in our journey.
And we did just ask you for a lot. But if you do nothing else, we ask you to do one thing for us. Tell others about us, about this podcast. If it is helping you in any way, shape, or form, we just ask.
Or if it just brings joy to your day. I mean, even if it's not helping you, it could help someone else. So even if you've heard it and you can think of somebody that it might help, tell them.
Yes. And we say share with somebody else. If you're not comfortable with physically talking to somebody and sharing Jesus yet, there's this great platform out there called Facebook.
Oh, yes.
You could share it with other people without actually having to look at them or say anything yourself.
Right.
You could just be like, hey, check this out. And just nice, soft, share a link type thing. So you can still share Jesus without putting yourself out there too much. But we just, yes, if you enjoy this, if you think it helps you, if you think it could help others, tell other people so we can help them too.
Right. And I'm going to say, just this itself is not only helping others, but I think it's helping me and you as well.
Yes.
So if
very
nothing
much so
else, you listening is helping us.
So yes, we thank you for listening.
Until next time.
Until next time.
All right. Bye, guys.